Part A.
We're in a series, for those who are visiting with us, called teleology, a theological word made up of two Greek words. Teleos means the word complete or mature. We take the word idea of mature or complete, and the word ology, of course, the study. And therefore, it is the study of spiritual growth, maturity in the Christian way of life. We are looking at 12 essential doctrines of the church age that I personally believe are important. These are the 12 doctrines that have stabilized my life. And as I reflected over my life and looking at the doctrines that were essential, these are the 12 doctrines that were essential to give me a solid foundation in my life. And so I'm teaching it to my church. We're in the 10th. If you'd like to follow along with us, you can go to our website, doctrinalstudies.com, and there will be posted probably under either Sunday or teleology. We're in the study of divine forgiveness, the 10th of the 12 doctrines. Last week, we looked at divine forgiveness from the God view of pardoning us. Two Greek words are used for forgiveness. And one of them we dealt with last week, and this week we're going to deal with the other. Aphiemi is a Greek word. In the English, you can't see the difference in these words. In the English, it just says forgiveness. But aphiemi is a word that is used for forgiveness that emphasizes God as the judge who has pardoned us from judicial charges of Adam's sin. Aphiemi. Last week we studied that. We introduced you to the other word last week because often it is used. For example, Al read out of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and there the word is used in one sentence, used both times. I mean, both of them are used to emphasize the importance of it. But the other word that is used is the word that we're going to emphasize today, charismai. You can see the word grace, C-H-A-R-I-S is the word grace. And this has C-H-A-R-I-Z-O-M-A-I. And it means the unconditional grace or merit of God that's been bestowed upon you at salvation. And it is this that God wants you to forgive others as you've been forgiven in our passage. So open your Bibles to Colossians. If for some reason you don't have your Bible with you, there's one in the pew, just pull it out. We call this Bible study. Okay? So pull out a Bible. At least look like you're doing something with it. So that gives me some comfort. And turn to the 3rd chapter, and we're looking at verses 12, 13, and 14. We were on this passage last week. Colossians, 3rd chapter, 12 through 14. Did I say something else? Oh, does it? That old computer. Yeah, well, I want 3. 2's okay. I'm not fussing with 2. It has it in it. I'm not fussing with it, but I want 3. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved. Remember last week we talked about those three characteristics of positional truth. Once you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross for your sins as a substitute for you, was buried and raised from the dead the third day, the Bible calls that the gospel. And Romans 1:16 says, if you believe, then the gospel is the power of God to save you. But let me tell you, you got to believe the whole gospel to get saved. That is truly a full gospel. That Jesus died for your sins, was buried and raised from the dead. And if you want a proof text on that principle, then you go to 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, and it says that He died for our sins according to the scriptures, Old Testament. He was buried and raised from the dead according to the scriptures, and they call that the gospel in verse 1. Verses 1 through 4 tell you that's the gospel. If Jesus is not raised from the dead, then you will have no salvation. Because three men died on the hill that day. Which one is the Messiah? The one who came out of the grave 3 days later, as he said. So, 15th chapter of Corinthians, a very strong passage on this. If for some reason you thought you could slide into the kingdom because you go to church, or because you believe in God, or because you're a good person, or because you believe Jesus died on the cross and that was enough, you are wrong. You are dead wrong. You are dead wrong. You must believe that he died on that cross for your sins, was buried, and from the dead he was raised on the third day to give you life everlasting. In fact, if he doesn't rise from the grave, you don't get the Holy Spirit. Because it is the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead in Romans 8:11 that lives inside your body. Make no mistake about this. If you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you are baptized by the Holy Spirit into union with Christ, and everything that he is in that position in at the right hand of God the Father, you become on earth. He's a son, you're a son. He's eternal life, you're eternal life. He's a priest, you're a priest. He's an heir, you're an heir. He's the beloved, you're the beloved. And the list goes on. That's because you're saved by grace through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man boast. Ephesians 2:8, 9. So, three identities. You are chosen or elect, you're holy, and you're beloved because you're saved, not because if you behave a certain way. You're always the beloved no matter how you behave. You're always holy no matter how you behave. The idea is to get your behavior in line with what you are positionally, to become experientially what you are positionally. You are holy in the eyes of God. Become that way in the eyes of others. You are forgiven in the eyes of God. Bring that forgiveness to other people. You are loved by God. Bring that love to other people. You do understand that, don't you? You do understand that. That is the message of the Christian church to the world. That's why it's called good news. Most people preach so much that it's bad news. That's the good news. And so we are referred to as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion. Watch these now. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. All those five mentioned right there are accusatives. They're accusatives. Bearing with one another, that's a participle. Forgiving each other is a participle. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so you forgive them. That's our text. And beyond all these, put on love. The word put on is not there in that text. It's over in verse 12. It's put there to be understood. It's probably italicized or something in your Bible, is it? Because it's not there in the Greek text. It's understood to be there. You know why? Listen to me now. Because the word love is an accusative. There are six accusatives. Yet there are eight things listed. Watch the eight things that are listed. Heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, forbearance, forgiving, and love. Right? We got the same Bible. Come on. We got the same Bible, ain't we? Huh? You got something else? No, of course not. Now listen to me. New Testament is written in the Greek language. It's written in the Greek language because the Greek language is very technical. And it's technical because we Gentiles, we want knowledge. If we're healthy, if we're spiritually healthy, we do. And if we're not, we want signs. Signs is the fact that you need to have a sign from God shows you're immature. Because if you were a healthy spiritual person, you would desire knowledge. Boy, you need to read the book of 1 Corinthians. I'm just pulling that information out of Corinthians. Now, look. 8 things are listed here. These are 8 virtues of spiritual growth, maturity in the Christian life. You need to ask yourself, how many of these things do I wear well? Because the word put on means to clothe yourself or to wear it. It means to clothe yourself. How many of these 8 virtues do other people say you wear? You know, look, you walk up to somebody and you go like those shoes. Those Wranglers? I'm not asking. In other words, we observe how people are clothed. We go like, man, I like that hat. Where'd you get that hat, man? Ooh, I like those boots. You've been to Texas? Man, those are riding boots you got. You understand what we got? Listen, when you wear clothes, people tend to notice them. And they go like, man, that's pretty sloppy. Right? Now, we're not going to say that to them because well, we could think it. Or think, oh, I like the way their hair looks or whatever. Look, this word put on means to clothe. These 8 virtues, if you're spiritually mature, not just a pew warmer, if you're spiritually mature, if you're studying the Bible for spiritual growth momentum, walking in the Spirit of God to get someplace other than in a circle, yeah, you know, walking in the Spirit, like where? Around and around and around we go. You ought to be walking according to the will of God. You ought to, shouldn't be walking in a circle. You ought to be walking someplace. And every place you are is where God has sent you. That's spiritual growth maturity in the Christian life. And listen, other people, not you, when you look in the mirror, you may not see these, but other people should look at your life and see these 8 virtues if you're spiritually mature. And if you can't, if other people don't mention these, if others don't see it, and if you're not aware that these are clothes that you are wearing, and not just in a closet, not in the closet called your Bible, my closet. If this is the only place you can find the 8 virtues is in the closet called the Bible, that's not what we're after, because the imperative, the command is to put them on. Get them out of the closet of the Bible and get them onto your person. Why aren't you glad you came now? These are 8 virtues of the Christian life. These are 8 virtues that are dynamite in this world. These are the 8 virtues that impact the world for Christ. And one of these, in fact, 3 of them, Paul pushes up to the front. He puts 6 of these in accusatives, and he puts 2 of them in participles for emphasis. Have I had a word of prayer? With you, I mean. You can tell I've had a word of prayer because my engine's already going. So let's pause and have a word of prayer so that your engine can get caught up with mine. Because my engine's already running. So let's have a word of prayer so your engine can catch up with mine. Let's talk about this subject today. Let us pray. I give you a moment of silence. As a believer priest, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, this priesthood of yours, if it needs to confess sin so that the Holy Spirit who lives in you can teach you the Word of God so that you can get the truth and the truth can set you free from false thinking. Mental attitude sin, sins of the tongue, and overt sin should be confessed according to 1 John 1:9. First, the condition, and then the promise. Condition, if you confess your sin, promise, He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. So, do a little business. It's your priesthood. It's your responsibility to do business. Do business with the Lord, and let's do business with His Word. Father, we're so thankful today for these in attendance. I pray, Father, the Holy Spirit would teach us the truth about divine forgiveness, about one of the keys of the eight virtues of the Christian life that we wear. And not as an emerging clothes, but everyday clothes. Not just Sunday clothes. Not just Sunday clothes, not bathing clothes, not special occasion clothes like playing tennis. No, no, Father. These are everyday. We wear these every day, forgiveness. One of the eight virtues of the Christian life we look at today and see how well we're wearing divine forgiveness. Encourage our hearts. Motivate us today through the Word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here we are. The word put on. The word put on is an aorist middle imperative. Notice on the third paragraph. Notice third paragraph. It's an imperative. It's a command. It's a hutu command. Notice that it's in the middle voice, which means that you're going to be benefited. Or others are going to be benefited. Listen, here's what the middle voice means. Here's what the middle voice means in context. As you have been benefited by God forgiving you unconditionally, take that attitude towards others. That's the middle voice. That's reflexive. As I reflect on the way God forgave me unconditionally, it is that I'm going to reflect to others. That's the middle voice. Isn't that powerful? That's just the middle voice. The aorist tense is a point in time divorced from time. It's nothing like it in English. The aorist tense is unique. It means finished action of past time. And that is because God has forgiven you. You bring that forgiveness to others. That's the aorist tense. The imperative is a command. I'm not asking your opinion. I don't want to hear, oh, but if you knew my situation, oh, if you knew, if they did that to you, none of that, forget that. The imperative says, put those clothes on. Get those virtues out of the Bible and get them on your person, right? Now look, down here in verse 13, at the very end of verse 13, in the second paragraph on your paper, it tells us that Paul has a way of measuring these virtues. It's a way of measuring these virtues in your life. It's a way of measuring them. How well you're doing. Here it is. Just as, that's a comparative adverb. That's the measure. Just as. I'm not asking you to be like anybody else. Just as. That's your measuring stick. You understand? That's a comparative adverb. Just as the Lord forgave you. And that's our word, that's our Greek word, charizomai. Then he switches to a demonstrative adverb. Just as, here's the stick, put it right there. This is the measuring stick, put it there. Just as the Lord forgave you, here is the demonstrative, this is how you're to demonstrate it. The demonstrative. Here is how it's demonstrated. Forgive others in the same way. Could you, now, is that not clear? I mean, bang my head away. Is that not, could you get that any clearer? Unless you're asleep. Come on. Just as, so also. See that? Just as, so also. That's your guide. Here's how you demonstrate. When you demonstrate it, it always comes from this measure. As the Lord forgave me, I forgive others. Not, you don't have There's not one person in here, including me, that has a different measuring stick. Therefore, it doesn't have anything to do with the circumstances. Oh, but if you were married to who I am. Oh, if you had the church I had. Oh, if you had this. Oh, if you had that. Did you write that down? I was watching. See how you wrote that down? Forget that. Six accusatives. Put on. It gives you six accusatives and two participles. How come he didn't give me eight accusatives? He could have, but he didn't. He should have put them all eight, unless there are some problems in the church at Colossae that's going to require some of these to be shifted up to the front. And the way you do that in the Greek language is that you put the main verb and put accusatives, and in the middle, you stop and put two participles, because participles are hunters. They're always hunting for the main verb. They don't have a life apart as a participle. They don't have a life apart from a main verb. They will wither up and dry. And so we got put on as a main verb. Then we've got an accusative, an accusative, 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 accusative. Participle, participle, accusative. You're walking along, you're having a good conversation, all of a sudden, I got two participles. Now listen, a present participle, and they're both present participles. Present participles occur at the same time as the action of the main verb. That makes them different than the accusatives, which are direct objects of the action of the verb. I tell you, I really work. I work for everything here. So here we got these participles. Now listen. A present participle, a present tense, means continuous action in present time. But that's occurring at the same time of the action of the main verb, which is an aorist tense, which means finished action in past time. I know. I might as well come out there and club you right now, because you're a dead fish, aren't you? I mean, you're going like, oh, the catfish. What did he just say? No wonder there's empty pews in this church. Who could absolutely? Why don't he talk where I can understand him? Right? See, I know I've sat there. I've sat there. Every once in a while, I'll let somebody else take the pulpit, and I sit down there just to see what it's like. You know what this means? You know why he put them in the present participles rather than the accusative? Because he could put them in the aorist. But he didn't. He put it because he wants to push those. Listen, he wants to push forbearance, forbearing with one another, and forgiving at the front of the... He wants it to be ahead of the heart of compassion. He wants it to be right up there with the aorist of finished production. The finished action is the aorist put on, and he wants it right there. He wants those two right there. I want them. Get them from over here and bring them all the way over here and stick them out here in the front. I want forbearance and forgiveness before the heart of compassion. That's how you do it in the Greek language. And you do it for shock. Because, see, in Greek class you go, accusative, 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 accusative. Oh, I bet the other one's accusative, accusative, accusative. They're all accusative. They're not. All of a sudden you got two participles. And it's like,
Why did he do that? I was doing so good. He gave me the promise of his life. Oh, why did he do that?
That's the way I study before I come. So it just naturally comes. This is the way I practice. Because I'm sitting there and he gives me two participles, and I go like, oh, please, 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 one time, can you do that in a passage where you don't do stuff like this? One time in my life, could I have something easy? And he shifts this over here to say that in the church of Colossae, we've got some problems going on. And we've got to have forbearance and forgiveness up front. And next to it, we've got to have love. And so he puts his, because he says, and then we're going to put love is going to be the overcoat. We're going to put love as the overcoat over these things. Except when he did, he shifted the two participles with the taillight. The love is the taillight. It's the caboose. And so I go, oh, okay. Come on, love. I want you here. I want to wrap it up. Come on. We got to go ahead of the line. I want to get back here. Come on. Okay. But it might be a good reason because I'm comfortable with being taillights. Okay, come on. We got to be up here. Now you get to be third. Oh, no, 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 no. You don't get to be first. You want to be taillights, you got to be taillights. Forbearance. Forgiveness. Love. Cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. Now tell me how you would have got that in English. And may I tell you why important the Greek language is? How would you have ever known that? How would you have ever known that? How important it is to have a pastor who is willing to study that way, to bring it to you, for you to understand when there is conflict in relationship in your life. And that's what this is about. When there is conflict in relationships in your life, forbearance, forgiving, and love ought to be the top three in your life. And what is he after? Listen to what he says. Here's how he in verse 14, and beyond all things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. What's he after? Perfect bond of unity. And in this case, because the church has a relationship conflict going on in it, he's got to have forbearance, he's got to have forgiveness and love to reach unity before the others are important. And so we're going to talk about a few things in regard to that today. For example, the Greek word that teaches us to forgive as forgiven is the word charizomai. It emphasizes the father of relationships. You know what God is the father of relationships. He's the father. He's not the judge. When you have Afiemi, he's the judge. He is the father of relationships. And this is a relationship word. Forgive is forgiven. And you know what he's talking about? He's talking about the way God, as your Father, has forgiven you and continually forgive you. Because every time you 1 John 1:9, you get forgiveness. That's our word. The Father, this is the way the Father treats you after you've had aphiemi, the judicial guilt of judgment taken from your life because of the blood, burial, the cross, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And the Father now can treat you in charizomai. He can treat you in grace. Unmerited favor on His part doesn't depend on any merit in you. It depends all on the merit in His character. What a wonderful idea. With charizomai, Paul is emphasizing the grace-oriented attitude, that God the Father has towards His children. And that is what He wants extended to others. In Colossians, the third chapter, verse 13, He reminds us, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, whoever has a complaint against another. You know, you remember in the parable of the two debtors? One owed 500 and the other owned 50. And listen, the Bible says, and He canceled both of their debts by the same measure. Isn't that interesting? Who would do that? But somebody who's very grace-oriented. Forgave them both by the same measure, the character of God. You know that's what He's talking about in your life? There's somebody that has offended you 500. There is somebody who has offended you 50. You must bring the same measure. Do you understand that? It's not based on whether it's 500 or 50. It's based on to forgive as forgiven. Isn't that the measuring? Don't make me go do this again now. Here's the second thing. While all eight of these super grace, spiritual mature virtues are important to healthy relationships, not just you with the Lord, but you with others, Paul emphasized three that needed to be in front and center in the church of Colossae because they had relationship conflict. When there's relationship conflict, these are the three you got to have, and they got to be up front and center. Forbearing. Long-suffering. Forbearing. Carrying the load. Listen. Carrying the load. Listen. If you say, I'm going to carry this debt, you know what you can do with it? This is a promise. 1 Peter, 5th chapter. I can't ever remember. It's either 7 or 8. 7? I didn't even say it. Are you reading my mind? Well, you're in trouble if you are. Because I don't even know where it's going. Is it 7? Cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you? 7? So look, here it is. Here is a person. A person has offended me 500%. I use my measuring stick. It's not based on that, is it? It's not based on what He's done to me, is it? It's not based on what He's done to me. It's based on what I've received from the Lord. And so I take that debt upon me, so I can give it to the Lord. Because I can't carry that. And He's put that burden on me. And I'm going to let Him put that on me. I'm going to let that, because listen, I know how to get rid of it. Cast your burdens, cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. That's what the cross means to your life. You can forgive as forgiven. That takes you to the cross, does it not? This measure is attached to the cross. To forgive as forgiven attaches that to the cross. It doesn't attach it to the one who's offended me. It doesn't attach it to the one who's offended me. It attaches it to the cross. Come on, people.
This concludes part A. Please select part B to continue.